You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... Wait, did I read that right? Repartee? Was that an autocorrect? I assume it's the Minnesota Progressive Report.
Who cares today? All this snow.
Okay, whatever. I guess it's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Here are your hosts for Thursday, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson.
Indeed, indeed. Hunter Hawes, Eric Nelson here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. And Eric, it's official. It is official.
What is official?
Minnesota really does have the worst winters in the nation.
Is that true?
I've got a report here. Remember last week when it was a negative 50 degree wind chill? And all the media was focused on how cold it was in Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, we can grumble no longer, Minnesotans. We've finally gotten the recognition we deserve. Thrillist has ranked each state for their horrible winters based on everything from average temperatures to how much their winter sports teams suck. And
oh, okay. That's a good metric.
We did it. We won. We are the number one worst winter state out of all 50. We beat Michigan.
Worst state, really?
Worst state. Yeah, they ranked all 50 states from 1 to 50. And Michigan was number two, which that makes sense. They share a lot of our terrible weather, terrible sports, terrible place to be in the winter. Alaska was third. And Wisconsin, a rival in most things, they only came in at number seven.
Hmm. I don't know if I agree with that list because I've been to North Dakota in the winter. And it's miserable.
North Dakota, and that's pretty depressing, too. They don't even have any professional sports or anything. I guess they follow ours. But, yeah,
that's
not getting credit.
That's more depressing.
I know.
You're a fan of a team that can never win?
But it's pretty obvious why we're the champions. There are places in northern Minnesota that get up to 170 inches of snow in the winter. Thrillist put it as 2.5 times the height of Kent Herbeck. Very cute. We sometimes see temperatures as low as negative 60, which eats away at the skin in a matter of minutes, which, yes, I experienced firsthand during the St. Paul Winter Carnival medallion hunt and had my frostbite on
I've
contact.
Noticed you have a lot less skin nowadays.
I know. I look like a World War I gas patient after that medallion hunt. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, our sports teams obviously never win anything. I guess the Twins did once in my lifetime that I don't remember. But we got the official Minnesota winter sport of ice fishing. You can't take that away from us. But yeah, we are officially the worst winter in the nation. And I love this last one. So to all the Erics, the Astrids, the Christians, and Bjorns, it's okay to show a little displeasure at the cluster of meteorological hand that you've been dealt. And really, we might as well. We've earned it. But they even have Eric spelt correctly with the K.
Oh, good. But, well, I appreciate that.
I mean, what a fitting day for this report to come out. It's a disaster out there. I could barely make it up our slight incline of a driveway here at AM 950. But it's a snownami, and we just got through the polar vortex, and we're really getting every little variation of horrible winter weather that they can throw at us.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I think it was like a 120-degree change in the past, like, 5 days, you know? Negative 30 to 40 degrees to back to, like, negative 15.
And that really added a new layer of mess to all this because it warmed up. It got to about 40 degrees a couple days ago, and then that all just froze over, and it's this nice, clear ice. It's like a Zamboni ice rink just on the sidewalks that have a good foot of snow over it right now, and it's that good, fluffy snow. So it's just the perfect mix to slip and slide. And quite the winter wonderland we've got going on here. Me, personally, I'm kind of a fan of the four seasons. I mean, right now, we're in the stage of death. But come spring, we'll have rebirth and summer life. And fall, we'll come back down. And this year, Vikings will do it for us. We will win. I'm trying to give us hope, y'all. I'm trying. But get through this. There's no real good news on the way weather-wise, so we got to tough it out. We got to be Minnesotans for a while.
Yeah, according to some callers, they like this, which I can't believe.
What I was just saying is the only thing I like about this is that we are in the four seasons, and we are in the season of death right now.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I like the snow. It's the cold.
The death gives the chance for rebirth. So that's my spin on it. But we got a couple exciting announcements. The 2019 Blue State Ball is coming up March 2nd at the Blaisdell. That's Saturday, March 2nd. And we've got a second confirmed headliner, John Fugelsang. You've heard him on the Stephanie Miller Show, and he will be headlining along with Tom Hartman and doing a brand new stand-up act. It's going to be fantastic. I know a lot of listeners are big fans of John, and so I am very excited to see this new act. He is excited. I've seen the emails, and it should be great. And the whole Blue State Ball, I couldn't be more ready for a giant party. All this winter weather, I'm ready to take it out at the Blue State Ball. And I have an announcement of my own for the Blue State Ball. I will officially be DJing the Blue State Ball. So, listeners,
bring your earplugs.
Hey, no, do not do that. In fact, give us a call, 952-946-6205. And throughout the month of February, give us your requests of songs you'd like to hear at the 2019 Blue State Ball. We will get you over the air. I'll make a list of all of them. Feel free to also email comment at am950radio.com with your request. But I will play them all, listeners, so send them my way. I'm ready to amp up the fun at the 2019 Blue State Ball. Eric, I can't wait for it. We got
it was fun last year. I'm hoping
it was really fun last year. And like I said, I got a brand new blue suit and a brand new track suit. And I will be making costume changes during the Blue State Ball. So be ready, y'all. But let's see. Where to begin today? Well, our governor, Tim Walz, he's in Washington right now. And I just saw a picture that got posted with Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Tim Walz together. So I was thrilled to see that. And Alexandria had a big day today. She introduced the legislation for the Green New Deal. So that is a big, big goal of ours. And just important that it's getting introduced. Now, on the downside of this, Nancy Pelosi already cast it off aside, the introduction of this bill, and said they introduced their Green New Dream or whatever it is. And it's like, oh, come on. Nancy, I've been so on your side lately. And then to hear that, it's like,
ah. This is why people are critical of her.
Yeah, that was very, very disappointing to see, because I thought she's been great handling the shutdown, and I have given her a lot of credit during that, but we got reality again. But I want to talk a little bit about the ambitious Green New Deal and a couple of the goals in the, because it's a very convoluted bill. It's kind of hard to figure out all the moving pieces. Yeah, it's certainly ambitious. But goal number one is stopping fossil fuel usage completely by 2050. And this is the part of the deal that people talk about the most. So Ocasio-Cortez wants to see anything and everything currently that uses fossil fuels to switch over to clean, renewable energy sources. So that means buildings, transportations, farmers, everything. But this is the part of the bill that I think most people kind of grasp. And when here in Green New Deal, this is what they associate the most. It's the climate change aspect and not relying on fossil fuels. But there's several other pieces of The one that I think is most important, though, is providing a good job and health care for every American.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what is implied by the New Deal aspect of it, right?
Exactly. So the health of the environment is deeply connected to the economic health of the country. The Green New Deal aims to save the planet before it's too late, while simultaneously boosting the economy, assuring every American is paid a living wage and has access to adequate health care. And this is the part of this is the part that people have the most misconceptions about, that this is actually a giant public works project, and this is to provide good-paying union jobs throughout America to tackle the climate crisis. Because really, the way we have to start framing this is like we were at war, and how the country comes together and goes into infrastructure projects and building projects and the jobs created from it. It's a war with climate right now. And this, it's going to be a tough challenge to win the arguments of this and to persuade everyone. But to start enacting some of these policies and get it so rural Americans go back to work with these good-paying union jobs is how people are going to come around. Because this is how the Democratic Party has lost a lot of these rural areas, is they no longer trust the Democrats the way they did during the original New Deal.
Well, the narrative so often with environmentalism is, oh, environmentalism is going to take away our good jobs, like coal mining. Well,
exactly.
There's only 50,000 coal miners in the entire country. Mm-hmm. How many people are involved in solar energy or wind energy? These actually sustainable jobs.
Exactly. And those are the reasons. That's why there is this weird little dichotomy going on of these rural area blue congressional districts that are virtually purple districts, where you have a lot of labor union power, but then a lot of influence on the pipe layers or copper sulfide mining. But these things, they're not sustainable. And what the Green New Deal proposes is a way for employment in a sustainable manner across the entire country, in all counties and all cities, because we have to tackle everything. We have to tackle cars, we have to tackle houses, we have to tackle commercial buildings and making them sustainable. So I know that this has only been really in our public dialogue the past year. It's been around, the idea has been around a lot longer. But with Ocasio-Cortez winning and making this a prominent issue, it has gotten a lot more traction in the mainstream media, and more people are aware of what the Green New Deal is. But I see that only that goal number one of stopping fossil fuel usage is the one that most people are associating the Green New Deal with. But there's a couple other tenets to this. I mean, there's several. I'm only going to touch on a few. But another is cutting down on airline travel. Diverse and reliable modes of transportation could significantly reduce the amount of pollution caused by air travel. The Green New Deal includes an expansion of electric car manufacturing, upgrades to train infrastructure, making it significantly faster and more efficient, and thereby reducing our over-reliance on air travel. Which, I'm interested in that. I'm a big fan of trains.
Yeah, no one likes going to the airport if they don't have to.
No, absolutely not. And dealing with a TSA, it would have been interesting to travel during that shutdown. And Brett's getting away while the government is reopened. Brett's taking a vacation the next couple of days, but he won't be able to see that shutdown TSA because I believe right now they're being paid again.
Yeah, they are
for another week. So he won't quite get to see what that was, but another goal of the Green New Deal is working with farmers to create a more eco-friendly supply chain. Next time you sit down to eat, think about how much energy it took for farmers to harvest your food, package it, and ship it. The Green New Deal seeks to make this process more sustainable, in part by using cleaner energy sources. And then that's another thing that in Minnesota, our Democratic Party is the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. But a lot of these rural areas, the farmer and laborers are not always voting DFL anymore. And it's because of this weird lack of trust that the Democratic Party is looking out for the interests of rural Americans. But the Green New Deal, I believe, is the long-term solution to combat this. It's really how we win back the rural communities. And in the spirit of FDR and Floyd B. Olson, we tackle the war of our generation, the largest war, a world war of climate. But this is an ambitious goal, but the biggest concern of the Green New Deal, of course, whether its lofty goals are realistic, even the solutions that we have considered big and bold are nowhere near to the scale of the actual problem of climate change, Ocasio-Cortez says. The Green New Deal also doesn't outline how exactly these goals will be met. If passed, the next step is to figure out how to get it done. It could be a big part of the larger solution, but no one has actually scoped out what the larger solution would entail, Ocasio-Cortez said. And so that really what we're trying to accomplish with the Green New Deal. So I'm thrilled that she introduced this today. I'm thrilled that Tim Wahl sat down and talked with her today and how he can impact Minnesota moving forward with the Green New Deal. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about a past governor and how he was crucial in the original New Deal. So maybe Tim Walz could find a little bit of aspirations from one of our past governors. But before we take a break, let's go to Patrick in Apple Valley, who wants to talk about the Green New Deal. Patrick?
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you guys that I'm pretty thankful for Ms. Cortez, who came out of nowhere and was elected there in New York. And the fact that she's endorsing this Green New Deal, I think it really reveals how the left and their agenda and how fold their agenda is, but also at the same time, how unreasonable it is. I mean, think about
I think it's unreasonable to continue destroying the environment.
By what, 2050?
2050.
And I look at that and I say, how in the world are you going to go all over the 50 United States and reconvert everything? I mean, it's ambitious, it's bold, but I just think it's totally unrealistic.
All right. Thank you, Patrick, for the call. But if not now, when?
And
when
you're lucky
it's too
I'm
late?
Not in office, because I'd be marching the National Guard down to oil refineries.
That would be a...
People don't realize this is a life or death situation.
Exactly. It's a lot more of a state of emergency than a border wall is. But Eric, let's take a break. And when we return, I will talk about our past governor and his contributions to the original New Deal and how Tim Walz could find influence for the Green New Deal.
Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. We have families waiting for a car. You know, over 85% of unemployed are successful in finding and keeping a job if they have dependable transportation. A car plus a job equals a life changed. 612-919-5526. We have families waiting for a car. 919-5526 or autotech.org.
We are given the gift of intuition on how to care for ourselves and our families, but too often we forsake that knowledge for the voice of authority. Green Tea Conversations is a radio show for people like you who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and who want to play a more active role in their family's well-being. I'm your host, Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine, and I'm excited to bring Green Tea Conversations into your home. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts straight from the pages of Natural Awakenings who will share progressive ideas and the latest natural approaches in nutrition, fitness, creative expression, personal growth, and sustainable living in a fun and informative way. Podcasts of the show are available anytime at naturaltwincities.com, am950radio.com, on iTunes, or anywhere you get your podcasts. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversations on Sundays at 10 a.m. as we awaken to natural health.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years. So if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, do I have to say this next line?
Do you want to sleep inside tonight?
My dad is beloved, world-famous radio broadcaster Matt McNeil.
Perfect!
Anyway, my mom and dad want me safe when I'm driving in winter weather. That's why the vehicle they trust is the Toyota Sienna, and the dealership they trust is Rudy Luther Toyota. They keep me safe.
With my son driving this winter, I trust Rudy Luther, and you can too. Stop in today and become a Rudy Luther Toyota family. The southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Moe's Tax Service in St. Paul is one of the most successful independently owned tax services in the entire country. They offer a diverse team of highly trained and screened tax preparation experts for personal and business tax needs. This year especially, changes to the tax code make it even more important for you to have someone who is a dedicated tax preparation professional. Moe's has been in the business since 1971. Visit them at MoesTax.com. That's MoesTax.com. Or give them a call, 612-721-2026.
This is Jennifer Ogren, account executive at AM 950, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee?
The Minnesota Progressive Repartee, your Thursdays with the fellas with Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Phone number is 952-946-6205. And a little bit of housekeeping announcements is, like I mentioned, Brett is going on vacation. So I will be here next Tuesday, the 12th, and I will be speaking with a very special guest, Paul Douglas. Paul Douglas will be on to promote an event at Shepherd of the Hill Presbyterian Church in Chaska. It's a free event on Tuesday, February 19th at 7 p.m. Paul Douglas will be speaking on the topic of global warming. He's a national spokesman on the issue of climate change and its ramifications on our planet. He also has a new book called Caring for Creation, The Evangelical's Guide to Climate Change and a Healthy Environment. So I will be speaking with Paul next Tuesday, and the Tuesday after that, I will also be at his talk at Shepherd of the Hill Church in Chaska. For more information, go to chaskachurch.com. But we've got several callers who are interested in the Green New Deal. If you'd like to comment on this, give us a call at 952-946-6205. Also, give me a call with any song requests you'd like to hear at the Blue State Ball, as I will be the DJ of the evening. But Eric, let's go to Reverend Jack in Minneapolis. Reverend Jack.
What's up, buddy?
Hey,
nice,
hey,
to
good
hear your voice.
Same to you.
Hey, I'll make it quick. I know you got a lot on your plate, a lot of callers and stuff to talk about, but I just want to say, you know, that last caller, I was like, okay, first of all, it's not unreal. I don't know exactly what's all in the Green New Deal, but I think, didn't you say 2050?
2050, yep.
For that, right?
Yep.
And then, so you're talking about like 30 years. The other thing is, and like you said, if not now, when? And, you know, this is a life or death, and this thing people don't realize that this is really the life of the planet. But the other thing I was going to say was, you know, what if that's what the attitude, like when they said, we're going to go to the moon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People are like, you know? But people, you know, I wasn't around back then, but it seemed like people said, yeah, you know, like, let's do this, man. Let's come together and let's make this, which seemed completely unrealistic at the time. People would be like, you know, oh, how are you going to do that? That's just, you know, well, you know, if we all dig in, you know, this is America, man. We can, whatever. We, you know, we can do it, and we can save our planet for the future generations and for ourselves, or we can not do it, and you know what's going to happen. So... well, I appreciate the opportunity to weigh in, my friend.
Yeah, thank you, Reverend Jack. That was a fantastic parallel to draw, and that really sums it up. I mean, anything is possible if we put the energy of the country in one direction and believe in a goal. And this is absolutely one we should believe in if we want to continue on as a civilization.
Yeah, I'm sure the Wright brothers even would have told you it's impossible to go to the moon in, what, 55 years?
Yeah.
If you told them that at Kitty Hawk?
So, and how little we know about the future and what is possible. But let's continue on this. Let's go to Stan in Minnetonka, who wants to talk about the Green New Deal. Stan, it's a pleasure to have you.
Hey, just wanted to say, I don't know Pat, but I mean, he wouldn't be trying to go out and get a job in a coal mine right now. Just consider that all of this is just an incredible opportunity for people to make money and move to a different type of economy. It's exciting. It isn't even slightly negative. We just got to go for it here.
I totally agree with you, Stan, and appreciate the call. Well, let's draw on the past to look to the future. And a perfect example of this is both Franklin Delano Roosevelt and our own former governor, Floyd B. Olson. Now, in 1924, Olson moved to the Farmer Labor Party when the Democratic Party and the Farmer Labor Party were two separate parties in Minnesota. He became its candidate for governor, and he told voters, "I am not a liberal. I am what I want to be. I am a radical. What is the ultimate we are seeking? The ultimate is a cooperative commonwealth." And in 1930, Olson won 82 of the state's 87 counties. He beat the candidate of the Republican Party by an overwhelming vote total. In office, he introduced public unemployment insurance, a mortgage moratorium on farms, progressive income tax, old age pensions, and helped establish cooperative business enterprises. Olson also advocated the state ownership of utilities and some basic industries and a government-owned state bank. Now, Olson won election for governor in 1932 when Franklin Delano Roosevelt was elected president, and FDR appointed Henry Wallace as his Secretary of Agriculture. In 1933, Wallace drafted the Agricultural Adjustment Act, which paid farmers not to grow crops and not to produce dairy produce such as milk and butter. The money to pay the farmers for cutting back production of about 30% was raised on the tax of companies and brought the farm products and processed them into food and clothing. But what I want to get into on this is Olson, he upset conservatives by refusing to use state troops to crush the strikes in Minneapolis, and he threatened to challenge FDR for the presidency unless he introduced a more radical New Deal. He argued that Roosevelt's National Industrial Recovery Act would not be successful unless the key industries of the United States are taken over by the government. And it was the radical leadership of Governor Olson, and when conservatives tied up relief bills in the legislature in the 1930s, Olson warned, "I shall declare martial law. A lot of people who are now fighting the measures because they happen to possess considerable wealth will be brought in by a provost guard. They will be obliged to give up more than they are giving now. If capitalism could not prevent a reoccurrence of depressions," he cried, "I hope the present system of government goes right down to hell." But
I like this guy.
I know. Isn't he fantastic? Everyone thought their favorite governor was Jesse Ventura. Now it's Floyd B. Olson. But he was incredibly important in leading the New Deal at the state level. And he actually challenged FDR to push the New Deal in more radical ways. And I believe the bare minimum these days as Democrats is that we have to be embodying the spirit of New Deal Democrats. And that is the only way that we are going to overcome these tremendous challenges. And that's an aspect of the Green New Deal that I love so much, is that they chose to frame it in the same framework of the New Deal. In this is really how you overcome two of the most tremendous challenges we have, is with climate change and with just the low-paying jobs, non-living wage jobs that people are working 2, 3, 4 jobs at a pitiful minimum wage. So, I just
not
saw
even
that
minimum wage. A lot of these jobs are $13-14 an hour.
Yeah,
it's still not enough. So when people are living at minimum wage, I question how they do it.
There's no way to make the math work of working a federal minimum wage job in any part of the country right now. And there's so much resistance to even get to $15 an hour, which is still not a living wage, which was why the minimum wage was created in the first place back in Roosevelt's time. We've talked about that in the past, how the minimum wage was always meant to be a living wage, and there was no debate about it. That's what the bare minimum was. But seeing Tim Walz with AOC today, I just wanted to look back on FDR and Floyd B. Olson and hope we can get a dynamic like that going on in Washington and Minnesota to tackle this Green New Deal. But we're going to take a break. Give us a call. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. We'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hey, I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and I want you to join us for Repartee on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
This is your daily legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature.
On Tuesday we saw a Republican win a special election in the Senate. Rural voters selected a Republican to be their senator. Now granted, of course, you're on the House side, but I look at what you guys are proposing in the House, and a lot of your bills really help out people who live in rural Minnesota. But yet, as we saw in this special election, they still decided to vote Republican. I don't know if you have the magic answer or if anyone does, and obviously you're on the House side and that was a special election on the Senate, but what do we have to do to connect with rural voters as DFLers outside of making proposals that actually improve the lives as rural voters, as I'm saying you guys are really doing on that House side? Is there any kind of magic solution on trying to connect with rural voters who live in outstate Minnesota?
Well, I would say that it's important to remember the national and even the international context. At the national level, President Trump dominates the political conversation, and it is very difficult to break through for people at the state or local level on local or state issues and separate what's going on nationally from what people are doing here. And so if people like Donald Trump, they're going to tend to vote for Republicans in the legislature. If they don't like Donald Trump, they're going to tend to vote for Democrats for the legislature. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to change after he leaves office or not, but we have really become polarized, and it's largely along geographic lines. In fact, if you look at where Democrats did very well in metropolitan areas, it was based in you could just track perfectly with density. So suburbs that have greater pockets of density, they went for Democrats. Suburbs that are further out and have a little bit more space voted Republican. And if you kind of look at that dichotomy, it's interesting that there seems to be this whole cultural and social shift taking place. And I think the Democrats have to, over time, it's not going to happen overnight, but over time, we have to reconnect with rural voters and talk about the things that they're worried about, they're concerned about, and show that we're doing the work for it, not just have these kind of national trends dominate the whole conversation.
Do you think it's something that has to be more than just the issues? Because as I was saying, you guys are doing a nice job proposing things like giving them more health care choices, where typically people who live in rural Minnesota don't have a lot of health care choices. Or as I know, you guys are big on trying to expand rural broadband. Is it just something where maybe going issue by issue doesn't work? Or is it something that's going to be more long term where people see, well, hey, you know, some of these bills being proposed by Democrats are actually helping them? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it isn't about issues. I think it's about identity and belonging. And if people feel like Democrats don't care about the voice and perspective of rural voters who might tend to be a little bit more traditional in some of their views, if they don't feel respected or heard or that they matter, they will go to the other party. And so I think that there are intangible ways of just showing up and being part of it and having stronger organizing and more local democratic activists in rural areas, I think is very, very important. But again, it's so hard to turn the channel away from the national news, which is really dominated on the Democratic side by folks on the East and West Coast. And I can see that, you know, Midwesterners in small towns might not see a lot in common with, you know, Nancy Pelosi. That's a very person from a very different world. So Democrats have to be more than just metropolitan representatives of big cities. They have to show that we can go into rural areas and are from rural areas and care about their issues.
That was your legislative update on AM 950 with DFL House Majority Leader Ryan Winkler. Each day we'll check in with Ryan Winkler for a brief update and ask him about some of the big issues taking place at the state legislature.
Hello, this is Brett's grandmother. You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here
with you.
Can't
believe we made that old woman come out in this weather.
Thank you so
much,
Brett's grandma, for coming out. I know it's a disaster getting up this hill, but you are a trooper. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. And we got a call from Randy in Coon Rapids who wants to talk about how much he loves Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Oh, Hunter, both you and Eric, you're scaring me a little bit now. I don't agree with the whole, pretty much a lot of things you guys agree with, but I think you guys are, deep down, I think you guys are pretty intelligent. And there's no way you can tell me that you think Cortez and Omar, they have the brains of a pea. They, I mean, if you listen to what they say, they don't even know what they're talking about. And her thinking, well, we're going to this new greenhouse thing. We're not going to, in 10 years, airplanes are gone. I mean, she sounds like she's from planet, I don't know what planet.
I don't think she said airplanes are gone.
You don't think what?
She didn't say that airplanes would be gone, just that we would
have
to use them
less. She wants to eliminate, if you listen to what she said, I heard word out of her mouth that she wants within 10 years, we won't be using airplanes or fossil fuels. That was her goal. I'm like, that's not even sustainable. I mean, and I was listening to, these were direct words out of her mouth, and I'm like, how did she ever get elected? It must be just because everyone wanted to have her in for some reason, because I don't think anyone's ever listened to her and could possibly take her serious, because look at Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
new commission, Nancy Pelosi didn't even put her on that commission.
Yeah,
so, I mean,
so I'm going to pipe you down for a moment. So everything in the new Green Deal doesn't corroborate with what you're saying. I don't know if she was maybe making hyperbole when she said that or if she actually said it, but she just wants to, like, move away from constantly doing air travel in favor of mass transit like trains and buses and move away from petroleum products by 2050, not 10 years.
Yeah, I couldn't comment because I'm not familiar with this 10-year no planes, and I doubt that's an over-exaggeration. But moving away from fossil fuels and looking into renewable solutions, I think that's incredibly intelligent.
I think it's important and it's necessary.
For the life that I want for myself to continue living, for my kids, for my grandkids, to have an earth to even live on.
Well, and that was the other thing that I thought was kind of goofy. She said if we didn't change things the way they're going right now, that within 12 years the earth is going to end. And I thought to myself, if you really thought the earth was going to end in 12 years, why would you care at all about what's going to happen? Because we're all going to be gone and dead. So if we are and the earth is no longer exists, oh well, there's not much we can do about it. So you just spend the next 12 years having as much fun as you can and enjoy life.
Damn, Randy, you're making some bad points today.
Randy, thank you for the call. I just looked up what this 12 years things were, and Ocasio-Cortez on climate, millennials fear world would end in 12 years if we don't address climate change.
And I think there's a lot of scientists who have said something similar, not that the world would end in 12 years, but past 12 years at our current rate of waste, we might make it to the point of no return.
Yes, I think
the damage
would
be done, and we're just continuing to do more damage.
Would transform beyond beyond what we could recognize now, the world would change for the worse and we would be too far to address it at that time. That is a possibility in 12 years. It's not necessarily a certainty, But it is a certainty if we do not address this at some point and address it in drastic circumstances. Yeah, give us a call if you'd like to continue talking about the Green New Deal or AOC or anything else going on. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. Also, send us an email to comment at am950radio.com. Your request to hear at this year's Blue State Ball, as I am DJing the night. I'll be DJing the ball, y'all. So we got a couple calls coming in. But
we have a call from our own.
Oh, this is fantastic. Laura, our own AM950's own from Food Freedom Radio. You'd like to talk about the topic at hand. Laura, it's good to have you on. Thanks for calling. Laura, are you there?
Crazy, because I also like to travel. But I did a quick little search, and not an extensive one, but I know I've heard this before. The Green Airplane of the Future will tackle aviation's biggest environmental challenges, including fuel efficiency, noise, plane washing. And so they are looking at more efficient planes and planes that might run on biofuels. So I'm wondering if that's what she was talking about. Not that we're going to end all plane, but I think it is hard for us to communicate with each other. And one of the solutions is for us to slow down and get the details.
Yeah, I think everyone always just kind of assumes the worst of the other side.
Yeah, it's all automatic. And there's a guy who won a Nobel Prize in economics, and he was a psychologist. He wrote the book Think Fast or Think Slow. And a lot of this stuff is instinctual, you know, that we want to kind of team up. But, you know, we know the weather has changed. I've lived in Minnesota over 50 years. The weather has changed. And mm-hmm. the consequences are dire, and we really need to find a unity to come up with some real solutions. And Hunter, I thought you talked so well about, you know, the struggle everybody has right now, just making ends meet, you know? And I didn't hear what you said the solutions were, so I wanted to hear what you thought the solutions were.
For making ends meet. Well, I think the Green New Deal as an idea and a concept is a brilliant way to address that, because it creates all these union jobs, living wage paying jobs across the country in rural areas, which are really struggling with poverty on the scales of like inner city Detroit and areas like that, is what we're seeing in rural areas all across the country. Tackling a public works issue like the Green New Deal is really going to combat our two biggest challenges we have in this country right now.
Right, yeah. And how we find that unity of creating our own economy. And I know you had Yang on, too, and he's talking about a universal basic income, and that was talked about over 100 years ago. And, you know, you might be able to put a transaction tax on the money itself and generate enough money from a transaction tax. And, you know, we do need to slow down and get some of these details, but we need to find a way better. We need to recognize the climate crisis. And also, of course, a carbon tax, a carbon fee and dividend would be very helpful.
Yeah, and Rebecca Otto introduced an idea like that when she was running for governor.
I'm in favor of adding some sort of luxury.
Involved in groups like Citizens Climate Lobby that's been active. They've been wanting a carbon fee and dividend for a long time. They've been working on that.
Yeah.
And trying to get bipartisan support for it.
Well, Laura, thank you for the call, and thank you for mentioning Citizens Climate Lobby. Like I said, I'll be speaking with Paul Douglas next Tuesday here on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee for an event he's doing at Shepherd of the Hill Church in Chaska, which is sponsored by the Chaska Citizens Climate Lobby, as well as AM 950, Progressive Voice Minnesota. But I know, Eric, your mom is a part of the Citizens Climate Lobby as well.
Yeah, she's very engaged in the Citizens Climate Lobby and a lot of environmentalist things. Lakeville Friends of the Environment is another one.
Yeah, if you care about this deeply and are looking to get involved, there are chapters of the Citizens Climate Lobby all across the state of Minnesota in most cities in the metropolitan area. Just Google Citizens Climate Lobby of a city near you, and they will have regular meetings. So I highly recommend checking that out, or other groups like Indivisible, Our Revolution, or DSA are all fantastic ways to get involved with this, because really our power is in organizing and our power is in people. So get together with like minds, share your knowledge, your experience, and then put in the work together. But we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back here on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hey, this is Rick Shiomi from Full Circle Theater Company, and I hope you can join us for Repartee. That's the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
As a family-owned business, Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has been serving the Twin Cities since 1930. A new furnace or air conditioner from Standard Heating and Air can lower your monthly utility bills, administer more consistent temperatures, and even improve indoor air quality, making your home safer and healthier for the whole family. The average heating and cooling system lasts 15 to 20 years, so if yours is on its last legs, call Standard Heating and Air Conditioning. Learn more at standardheatingdeals.com. Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, the comfort you deserve.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been telling you about my friends at Snap Construction, who are arguably the most well-reviewed exterior construction company in the metro. Don't just take my word for it. Take a look at all their reviews online. Winter is the most cost-effective time of the year to complete your construction project. A majority of Minnesotans choose to have their work completed on their home in the summer when they should be enjoying the weather. As a result, the demand for labor in the summer is much higher. The most cost-effective way to improve or restore your home is in the winter due to the lower demand. Right now, Snap Construction is offering an additional 30% off of labor to the AM950 listeners on your next construction project between now and the end of February. Call 612-333-SNAP and mention AM950 for an additional 30% off. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Don't wait to get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP. Or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Most of us try to be careful about how we eat and the safety of our food. At Total Dog Company, we believe in giving our dogs nutritious, safe food, too. We offer a variety of kibble, canned and frozen and dehydrated raw foods. We study ingredient lists of every food we sell, and we don't sell products that are primarily vegetable protein or that contain generic proteins, byproducts, fillers, or artificial preservatives. Find us in New Hope off of 169 at 9432 36th Avenue North and at TotalDogCompany.com.
Hi, this is Matt McNeil, and you're listening to Doug, Brian, and Harold. Love those guys. I love those guys. It's the Minnesota Progressive Rep, right here on AM 950.
The Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here with you today on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. We just have a couple minutes left, and I wanted to give a little light to a story I thought was fantastic, a story from the First Lady of Minnesota, which we haven't heard much from, Gwen Walls. She made her first public event as First Lady today at the state capitol. She spoke at Minnesota's Second Chance Coalition rally at the state capitol today. She supports legislation the group is pushing that would restore voting rights of convicted felons once they've completed serving jail time. Currently, felons must complete probation, parole, and other terms of their release before they can vote. The bill's chief sponsor in the House is Representative Ray Dean of Minneapolis, who ran for mayor of Minneapolis, actually, and did a fantastic job. Yeah, it came very close. It was the first election of ranked choice voting. He shared his own story of incarceration during a similar rally 10 years ago before he was elected to the legislature. And Ray Dean has a fantastic story that he was actually pardoned from the governor at the time for a drug charge that otherwise would have held back Raymond Dean his entire life. And he has really built up a fantastic work for the common good in being a public figure and an activist. He's a fantastic man, and this is his bread and butter issue of restoring felons' voting rights. And I mean, to me, this issue is a no-brainer. I mean, it's obviously you should have the right to vote. I mean, we let ex-convicts marry, reproduce, buy beer, own property, drive. They don't lose their freedom of religion, their right against self-incrimination, or any of these other things. So the assumption that they can't be trusted to help choose our leaders.
It's not like we have an issue with too many people voting. If anyone should get a voice in how the government's run, it should probably be felons.
The people who are affected,
they get two votes
by the laws.
Yeah, every felony gives you another vote.
I mean, and if we thought criminals could never be reformed, we wouldn't let them out of prison in the first place. I mean, that is the point of your served time, is you've done your dues. Let's go to the only liberal from Minnetonka. We have just about a minute left, but I'm glad to have the only liberal in Minnetonka on the show.
Well, I'm from Minnetonka. They don't allow me to live there anymore.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I think in the future here, we're going to have one of two things. We're going to have the Trump people dominate, and we'll live in some kind of Handmaid's Tale reality. Or people will start looking at the evidence, and we'll go in the positive new Green Deal direction. And then all this horrible, nasty trolling, they won't put up with this stuff. It won't be allowed. It'd be like having people talking up Nazis during the Blitzkrieg in Great Britain. You know, so maybe where there's light at the end of the tunnel. That's what I had to say.
All right. Appreciate the call. And we are just about out of time here, but me and Eric will be doing a podcast live on Facebook Live. If you want to check it out, a wrap-up show will be started at like 5:30 or something. So tune in on AM950's Facebook.
Yeah, Google Murray Brookchin.
You are listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about... wait, did I read that right? Repartee? Was that an autocorrect? I assume it's the Minnesota Progressive Report.